Well, about a year ago, we began a transition in family ministries as we began to search for a new children's ministry director. And then if you saw the letter that was sent out last Sunday, and if you didn't, there are copies available at the ministry information counter. We're now preparing for another transition as Jim and Jody will be transitioning out of their role as our assistant pastor for youth and family ministries. And Jim's going to come and share a bit more about that in a moment. But I want to position this in terms of this broader work that we feel that God is doing within our church's family ministries program. And as I had occasion to reflect on the significance of this and thought about the importance of taking time in the service this morning, and if you know me, I'm a bit of a planner when it comes to the preaching calendar. I can tell you what I'm going to be preaching on next Father's Day already today. So to yield the sermon and have to rearrange things is always done with deliberation and significance. You may be grateful that we're not talking about Absalom's rebellion on Father's Day this year. I can make a Father's Day sermon out of it, but I think God had better ideas. And so this is not something that's different than the message. When we gather as the body of Christ here at the corner of Coit and Sweet, each and every Sunday, it is to receive our marching orders. It is to understand what God's purpose and plan for us as a congregation is. And a part of that is what Scripture describes as being put together as the body of Christ, the members arranged exactly the way the Spirit chooses. And sometimes the Spirit does organ transplants. And so we want to be surrendered to God's plan and purposes. And so I was reminded of another worship service that was interrupted by God's plan and purposes changing for people in leadership in Acts 13. Where it says, there were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so this is not just informational, what we are doing this morning. We are seeking God's direction together as a congregation for how he wants each of us to serve, especially as it pertains to Jim and Jody and their transition, but also for us as a church. So for the last year, Jake has been working with a team that has been looking for our children's ministry director, and we wanted him to just come and give a brief update on the status of that. So Jake, would you come and share with us where things stand as we start this off?
Well, good morning, church. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Jake Bradshaw. I've been here for 4 years now, and I've had the pleasure and opportunity to work with a team of folks in engaging the opportunity to find a children's ministry director that would fit the needs of our church. It was myself, Mandy McGovern, Leslie Larson, Carrie, and Zach Rodriguez, and then also Kelsey Little. And we've had the opportunity to meet and discuss and work through what a job description looks like, what our expectations were, and then we put out a job posting. We had approximately 14 people who expressed interest, and then we sent a follow-up questionnaire to all of those, and we received one questionnaire back. So apparently they were some tough questions, two questionnaires back. They were some tough questions. We expect a lot of the folks that would come to lead our children and to engage our family ministry. We had an opportunity to interview one person of those that returned the questionnaires. And they, after interviewing and discussing and praying through it, we didn't feel that they would be a fit for what we were looking for as somebody to lead our children, both as the administrator of the treehouse, but also as the spiritual leader and the guide. The person that came and interviewed was very much wanting to be that spiritual guide, but the administrative factor just wasn't something that they were really showing any strength in. And for us, that's a concern because that is a large part of what that downstairs looks like. So since then, we had the posting removed. We've paused any of that discussion, so we're kind of on hold as we consider transitioning and what our next steps are.
Okay. Well, I want to express my appreciation to Jake and to the entire team, and I think Janice Qualls was also involved in that
process,
well. So appreciate their hard work. It's been, if you've ever been involved in a search process, it can be frustrating. You get someone lined up that you think looks good, and then it falls through, and it's kind of back to square one. But again, we feel God's leading in this. At the time of that interview, we didn't know what God had in store for Jim and Jody, and so we feel that this is an opportunity for us to once again evaluate all of what is going on in family ministries and seek God's leading and direction. And so we continue to trust and be confident, but we will be putting this process on hold as we take the opportunity to evaluate everything. So Jake's team will continue to inform that process along with another team that is has been formed and working specifically with youth ministry that you'll hear a bit more about in a moment. But thank you, Jake, for your work. We appreciate that. And at this time, I'm going to ask Jim to come forward, and he's going to share the story of what God has been doing with he and Jody over the course, of the last 16 years that you've been on staff and even further back. So I'm not sure how much of the story you're going to tell. You've got as long as you need. Want to encourage you to come and share what God is doing with you, in you, and through you.
Thanks. I'm aware a lot of you probably had a chance to read the letters that went out, and at least at this point you're aware that Jody and I feel pretty confidently, very confidently, that God is calling us to a ministry transition. And I wanted to take a few moments to just share a little bit more about what that looks like for us, as well as like reflecting back on the journey, just share some highlights to that. But first, let me, Jody and I just want to really express our love and appreciation, just even especially in the last week, as so many of you have come alongside and encouraged us and walked with us and had been in conversation with us, and we deeply appreciate that. We absolutely love Brian, and we plan on staying here. If you haven't read the letter, Brian is our church family, it's our home, and we're delighted and excited to continue worshiping here and being Jim Bartels and Jody Bartels regular attenders. It'll be a little bit different in that way. So I wanted to share some of the journey, and as Jody and I were talking and praying through just exactly what to share, because there could be a lot of things to share, some things probably not to share. Just wanted to share, I think, just two highlights or two themes really came up. One theme being that of having a plan and a direction for my life, and then God interrupting that plan for something different, reflecting back and looking back since 4 years old. And then a second theme of, while not completely realizing it, God shaping very much just our heart, our collective heart for direct missions to essentially the unloved, unchurched, just seeing how God has worked through that as we've reflected back. So when I was four, I remember my mom and dad. My dad was there, and he said, "Hey, Jim," I was right out in the driveway, and he said, "Jim, how do you feel about going to Peru?" And I thought, wow, it sounds like a good restaurant, and sounds delicious to me. I'm in. And lo and behold, our whole family was transplanted to Peru. Gained my youngest two sisters, Kimmy and Christy, so it was a great, one of the best benefits of Peru. But one of the other things that I hadn't really realized is as my family was going back and forth to different churches, I remember my parents very much reading many verses that talked about caring for the orphan and the widow and meeting the needs of others that don't have just some of the basics of life. And not even really realizing that, but God was really shaping my heart in that way. Many of you know, one of the things my parents did was start an orphanage, a children's home for families, for young kids that didn't have a home to be in, where their home was broken, just didn't have fathers, and so many just coming from really tough backgrounds. And again, I think God really shaping my heart. Jody actually came and visit me in Peru on a missions trip. Didn't really realize that she was there, but she's got a journal to prove that that she was really there. So we did meet in Peru. But towards the end, it was time to graduate from high school in Peru and relocate to the United States and head to college. And I was thinking, you know what? I think I want to go into computers. That was my plan. But my sister Karen was at Moody Bible Institute, along with my parents. Thought, you know, Jim, it'd be really good for you to just be in a Christian environment, and we'd really love for you to go to Moody. And so I said, okay, I guess that's where I'm going. I'll put my computer plans on hold. So I went to Moody, and it was just a really great experience. Garth is a fellow Moody Moody alum, but in Chicago, and in Chicago at Moody, one of the things they had us do is work with a practical Christian ministry. And I remember my last 3 years there working with a lot of inner city youth in Chicago as part of my Christian ministry, and I thought, yeah, I'll never be doing this. This is crazy. At the end of graduating from Moody, I thought, okay, now's my time this summer to explore going into computers. So when ITT Technical Institute was still a thing, I explored and just thought, what would that look like to do? Because I was on the speed track. And unlike you, Marcus, who is a planner, I'm not much of a planner. I just kind of take life as it comes, and I find it a little bit easier that way to not plan. But thankfully, God is good, and He shapes me and steers me at different times. In pursuing, hey, what does that look like for heading into computers? I love video games on computers, so I thought, why not go into computers, right? So I got a phone call shortly after visiting a couple of these colleges and universities, and it was one of my buddies from college, and he said, hey, Jim, a few of us are going to Mexico for 6 months. You want to come? And I said, I'm in. Just about that quick. I had no plans. Fortunately, I hadn't. My calendar was free, so I went to Mexico with plans of working at an orphanage and just realizing, man, it'd be really cool to somewhat do what my parents' heart was in coming alongside youth that just don't have families and just need love and compassion. Thought that would be a really good plan. And so we arrived in Mexico and was planning on connecting with this orphanage and didn't do all of our research. And we were there in Mexico and like, uh-oh, it's not going to work for us to connect with this orphanage. Now what do we do? And one of the other guys that I was with from college, his parents were there. They were kind of mentoring us and making sure we painted inside the lines as newer missionaries, fresh out of college. And they said, we've got a church that we would love to connect you with. They don't have anybody. For years, they haven't had anyone do youth ministry. It's like, wow, youth ministry? That's a really crazy idea. And so they... I partnered with my friend Dave, and we, for 6 months, started a youth ministry and had that experience. And throughout that time in Mexico, it was just like, man, I feel like maybe God, while in Peru, said, I'll never go into full-time ministry. I think computers is my path. But while in Mexico, I think God began to again shape my heart, not realizing it, and saying, hey, maybe missions is what God is calling me to. And so I came back to Grand Rapids after that 6 months in Mexico and was trying to figure out, okay, what does that look like to go into missions? And was planning on going to Ciudad Juarez in Mexico, a different spot in Mexico where there was an orphanage, and work with some kids there. And I got a phone call from Matt DJ. Some of you know Matt DJ. He was a youth pastor here at the time, so that Brian had two separate roles as a part-time junior high and a full-time senior high youth pastor. So he called me up and said, Jim, let's do breakfast at Arnie's. So I went to Arnie's, and he said, hey, we've been really looking for and praying for somebody that could step into the junior high youth pastor role, and we think you'd be a really good fit for that. I was like, oh. But after a couple portions of bacon, I said, okay, I'll pray about this. And so I prayed about it and realized, despite my plans of heading into missions, God was calling me to Berean to come on staff in the junior high capacity. And quickly realized, stepping into it, like, wow. Stepped in my first Wednesday. First of all, I was late my first Wednesday. But I realized, wow, there are two very different worlds that have collided in one space. A large portion of junior high unchurched youth, as well as a good portion of junior high students that had kind of grown up through Brian. And I was like, wow, I have no idea what to do. So I just started talking with people and just asking a lot of questions of the great group of small group leaders that that I had, as well as of the students. And as I got to spend a lot more time with students, and as so help me figure out what I'm supposed to do here. What does a junior high youth pastor look like? I spent an increasing amount of time with a lot of students that had just been in the community, and I remember distinctly seeing a big giant cluster of junior high students walk across our parking lot, and thought, well, that's weird. All throughout the summer, all they're doing is just wandering back and forth around our parking lot, and it doesn't look like a very good playground or a great hangout spot. And later I realized, as I got to know some of them, the reason that they were just wandering to and fro is that the last place that they wanted to be was home. That home was just a really broken, hard place for them to be in, very absent from love. As I went into a lot of the homes, I caught a lot more of why that was. And I loved junior high. There's so many great memories, and just loved working and discipling students that have grown up in church. Loved everything. For me, the grass is greener wherever I'm at. Nothing about me or anything. I just love and enjoy life. And it was just a great experience. And through just being mentored by some people, they said, if you really want to make an impact, it'd be really helpful to move into the community. So I have lived on three different sides of the church. I'm very cautious, familiar with the story of Jericho, to not move one more time on the other side. Other walls may fall down like Jericho, but we've still currently live across the street from our church. But so just, I think, a glimpse of, wow, just God putting a burden, I think, for the Creston community in Jody and I's hearts. And I remember early on in junior high, I had these eyes on this girl, Jody, and we started dating. Our first date was at Arnie's. So it's a very famous Arnie's that burnt down, and now it's rebuilt even better. Early on in our conversation, I remember saying, hey, Jody, I feel like God might be calling me down the path of missions, and I feel like if we're married and God is calling me there, that we should be together in this. And I remember you just sharing, so yeah, I'm open to that sort of thing, that I'm not locked into, you know, I'm open to whatever God has for us. And so in the midst of just really loving junior high, part-time ministry and everything, God made it clear that it was time for Matt DJ to transition out of youth ministry, which left this void in the senior youth pastor role. I thought, man, no, I'm junior high for life. Wouldn't want to do anything else, still love junior high. And after much praying and wrestling through what we should do, as a search committee just said, hey, Jim, would you want to apply for this role? We said, sure. We'll trust God's plan and his process and what that looks like. And after a little bit of time being in the interim role, we were hired on board as fresh in our marriage as the youth pastor. Eventually over time that changed into the family pastor role several years back. So the youth and family pastor role. And just absolutely loved it. Turns out I love junior high and senior high, and just have so many great memories, and just love the different dynamics of being able to have deeper conversations with senior high, and being free to do different types of things and have different types of conversations, and just love that reckless, crazy passion that junior high students have. And just absolutely loved doing that, and just have many, many great memories. And a few years back, so that's been the story of our journey for many years. I think I was a junior high youth pastor for five or six years, and then youth and family pastor for 10, 11 years in that range. A few years back, someone mentioned to me, hey, Jim, you'd make a really great community youth pastor. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? And they just mentioned that there's so many churches that we have really good relationship with in this Creston community, and many of them wrestle with and face that tension between, yikes, we've got students that kind of grow up in the church and students that are very unchurched. This whole two worlds collide, and it's really tricky and challenging, as we've realized, to have in one space, to have a shared goal of reaching, meeting both of those needs and what that looks like at the in one night, in one space, in one time. And so I thought, oh, okay, how about that? I've got a plan for this this coming Wednesday, and didn't really think much about that, but thought, yeah, no, that'd be an interesting thing, just realizing that many churches in this community are recognizing there's just there's some huge needs in this community. And fairly recently, I looked out the window from the well, the youth space, and I saw a big giant cluster of junior high students. There's a group of about 10, 15 that just walk and travel around from the library to whatever church will open their doors to wherever they can find a place to be. And many of the places they go, they're kind of kicked out and I would say unloved. And the last place that they want to be is home. And it just reminded me of way back in 2003 when I started looking out and just seeing all these groups of students where the last place they wanted to be in was where the last place they wanted to be was home, and didn't really think much of it. But as Jody and I have particularly reflected on this past year, a year ago, both of our hearts just felt a little unsettled. And we didn't know exactly what that was or what that was like, but we thought, we need to really pray about this. And what is God up to? And so we asked some people to commit to praying with us for clarity. And what is God up to? Is God saying, hey, I want you to do something a little bit different within Brienne? Is he saying, hey, I want you to step away from Brienne? Is it calling you to something completely different? And we just weren't sure. And wanted some help in praying through and thinking through that. And at the end of that 6 months or so, came to the conclusion, no, God's got us exactly at Brienne, and this is where we need to be. And about 6 months ago, I'm sure my time frame's off a little bit by a few days, maybe more, but I was a part of just a really great team, as Jake shared, just thinking through as we were needing a children's director of coming up with and wrestling through what does Brienne need in a children's director? Rather than starting with what's our current job description, what do we have? Just really praying through, wrestling through, dialoguing in the whole process, what does Brienne need in a children's director? And let's start with there. And when we know that, then we'll know who to pursue for that role. And it was just a really good, exciting process to be a part of. And at the end, just having, hey, this is what we're confident Brienne needs in a children's pastor, a children's director. And at the end of that process, I was just like, you know what? That was such a really good process. It'd be really helpful if we could do that with the youth and family pastor. There's just so many different areas of focus throughout the week of I've always wanted input on where should I spend my focus. I'm wanting to be a good steward and walk with integrity with the hours that Brienne has given me, and sometimes wrestling with how much time do I spend, you know, hands-on with students at church, hands-on with students in the community, hands-on with families in the community, working with, you know, still growing into the family pastor role. What does that look like with our milestones and interacting and connecting with parents? How much time do I spend doing emails? A lot of you know I don't spend much time doing emails. It's a growing thing that I'm doing, but just really wanting and seeking some input and just saying, hey, what does that look like? What do our youth and families really, truly need at Brienne? And so graciously the group continued on, and we started wrestling through that input, and just it was just an exciting and really encouraging process to be a part of. That as we would write some things, brainstorm, and create some strategies. What does Brienne need in a youth and family pastor? And also, what's our philosophy of ministry? What's our strategy in youth and family ministries? And just through the process, being really excited about everything, and continually very excited about what that ministry strategy is, as well as being excited, anticipating, wow, that's going to be really neat to bring that, you know, to take this strategy into this coming school year and to implement a lot of the things. That's going to be really helpful and freeing, and I was just really excited. And not really knowing how to describe it or anything, but it was almost just a few weeks ago, just that unsettled feeling came up. And just went for a long walk and just was praying through that, and called Jody, and we prayed together and talked together, and just asked some input from others, and just saying, here's what I'm feeling, and I don't know what's going on. And I just really love Berean Family Ministry, absolutely love it, and yet feel like I don't know where this feeling is coming from. Putting things together, Jody and I feel like Acts chapter 16 captures a lot of what God was up to, that despite our desire and our intentions and plans to continue in the role and the capacity that we were and being excited about it, Acts 13 says that despite Paul and his companions, they were planning to do a really good thing and to teach and share the gospel in a certain area. A really good thing. There's a really good thing at Berean. Just really excited about plans and everything, and yet the Spirit of the Lord would not let Paul continue. Two times that happened. Of just this wrestling, like, what is going on? And the Spirit of the Lord would not let him. And almost suddenly, in a vision overnight, there's a man from Macedonia begging and pleading, would you please come share the gospel with us? And Jody and I are confident that that really captures how the Spirit has been working in our lives, that we feel confident God is calling us to be the light of the gospel, specifically in this community, working with youth and their families, and feeling like the last several years, just of understanding the value of families and just the huge impact that parents have, that sometimes the fastest road to families is through youth, and just realizing what a huge need that is, and we feel like God is calling us to step into that. And so What does that mean? We feel like we've got enough clarity to step out and trust God. The last several weeks have been this, wow, I feel like this is what God is calling us to do, and almost this whispering from God, you can trust me. You can trust me in this, to where it grew a lot louder, like, come on, Jim, step out and trust me in this. And so we've taken that step of faith where we're trusting God for what's next in our journey. And so what does that look like? We're not entirely sure in some ways, and in some ways we feel like we've got some pretty good clarity on what that looks like. There's several really good parachurch organizations that we feel are just Christ-centered and gospel-centered, that it's important to them not to just exist within themselves as a parachurch organization, but collaborate well with others, and that the parachurch is not the end. Both Jesus is the end, and connecting people with the church, we feel, is really, really important for that. So it may be connecting with a parachurch organization and coming on board in that way. It may be coming on board as a missionary in some fashion to the community. And so I guess as I see the shift a little bit, the ministry transition, rather than pastoring primarily within the walls of Berean, it would be pastoring really almost a streets pastor, of just really pastoring in this community. Our heart is drawn very much to Riverside Middle School in a lot of ways, and we don't know if that's where we'll land or what that looks like. Riverside Middle School is one of the top 10 underperforming schools in the state in terms of middle schools. And just as I've gotten to know Riverside a little bit more, the burnout rate for teachers is almost one a year, in the class size is like 33 students to one teacher. So there's just some huge constant struggles and battles there. And so we just feel we're trusting God a little bit one step at a time in terms of what's next for us. And so this process has been a flood of emotions all over to like, wow, our family is really going to have to trust God in this moment. And that's a really scary place to be in. But even as the songs were just perfect to, hey, God's with us in the midst of the fear and the scary process. And I think it's like, well, trust isn't easy. It's a really hard thing because we don't always know exactly what next, but we know that God is trustworthy and he's faithful to his promises. And so I wanted to take, Jody wanted to share, come up and share a few words as well. This was unplanned, so this is slightly off script. That's
okay. Oh, what do I do?
Mic number five. Hello?
Well, oh, it is working. Okay. I was just going to talk loud. I was recruited to work with the junior high by Ben and Cindy DeBoer my first year of college. I was really excited about that. I didn't know that. One of the reasons they recruited me was because I thought Jim and I would be a great match. So they definitely like to take credit for our marriage. But so for all of our dating relationship, all of our marriage, Brian Youth Group has played a very major role. And unlike Jim, I am more of a planner. And I really like to know what's ahead. Quick example from our dating life. I remember early on when we were dating, just really wanting to spend time with Jim and just, you know, so excited about every chance we could be together. And I would wait and wait and wait for him to call me for a date. And finally be like, okay, I haven't heard from him. I'll call up some of my friends, see what they're doing. And then, like, the morning of, I'd get a call, like, hey, want to hang out tonight? And I'd stop and think, because, yeah, I want to hang out with him, but I finally made other plans and trying to think through. And he would read that hesitation of, oh, she doesn't want to spend time with me. And in my mind, I'm thinking through, come on, I wanted to spend time with you. So just God has definitely gifted us in different ways, complementary ways that we can work well together. Once we figured out good communication. So it is a scary thing to be transitioning out of this part that's been part of our whole life together. But at the same time, I think we both feel just kind of the peace that passes understanding. I normally don't do well with change. And like Jim said, this has been a really emotional decision and transition, and thankfully we're staying on through September, so I don't have to deal with it all right now. But we feel very much at peace with this. Is indeed where God is calling us, and we also feel God is calling us to remain here. We love you guys. You guys are our church family. Our spiritual family, and thankfully, where we feel God calling us allows us to also stay here with you guys. And we're so excited for our kids to continue to grow up through the family ministries here and to just continue with great guidance and wisdom and love from so many teachers and other people who are already investing in their life so much. Those are my words.
Don't go anywhere. You know the rule. When Kelsey and I first came to Berean to interview, one of the things that we had been praying for in the churches that we had interviewed with previous is that wherever we landed, that there would be someone that we could count on as a full partner in ministry. And at that time, the search committee, even though we were one of several candidates they were looking at, went out of the script and made sure that we had lunch with Jim and Jody that weekend, and that we got to know them a little bit. And we felt confident that should the Lord direct us to Berean, that this was going to be a couple that we could truly partner with. And I can say with confidence that the last 5 years that we've been here, Jim and Jody have been alongside us in the trenches through bright days, through dark days, through exciting things that God has blessed us with, and challenging times that God has taken us through, and that we've done that together. And so there is definitely a sense of loss for us as we contemplate this. This is not an easy thing. And I was thinking about this morning, the song that we're going to close the service with in just a few minutes. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. That it is easy for us to put our faith in lots of things other than Jesus. That we can put our faith in structures and programs, creeds, devices. What bonds Jim and Jody and us and our church together ultimately is that Jesus died and rose for us. And everything else is secondary. And it struck me how many times in the Gospels the disciples would come to Jesus and ask process questions. They'd ask for details about the plan. Where are we going to get bread for all of these people? What do you mean, throw the net on the other side of the boat? When are you going to come back and restore the kingdom? Who's going to betray you? And every time Jesus defers and kind of says, it is I, don't be afraid. That's what I'm feeling this morning. And so as we sing that song in just a couple of minutes, I'd encourage you to reflect on that. And in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and call an audible because that seems to be the theme of the morning. The other Jody Bartels was going to share. She's been a critical part of the team that's been working on the philosophy that Jim alluded to. We're going to have a forum next Sunday during the second hour where deacon members will be available to answer questions. I'm going to ask Jody to share in that setting, if that's all right, Jody, for the sake of time. But I am asking Jody and Mandy and Mark Gordon, who have been the other members of the team, as we surround Jim and Jody just in a time of prayer this morning before we close our service with that song. So Mandy and Jody, and Mark, if you'd come forward. Do you still have that mic, Jody?
No, Jim.
Okay. I'm just going to ask that we'd lay hands on and ask Mark if you'd lead us in prayer. And if you would reach out your hand of blessing towards Jim and Jody this morning.
We get an opportunity to learn from their faith as a body, and so we appreciate them being able to experience this with them. So would you go to me in prayer? God, we are so thankful for the ministry that you have given to Jim and Jody here at Berean. We thank you, Father, for the many ways that they have served, the many lives that they have touched. I know personally, Lord, that not only have they reached many kids, but they've reached many parents. And we thank you, Father, for the way that you have used them, the way that you have molded them, the way that you have empowered them, Lord. Thank you for the gift that they have been and that they will continue to be a Berean. Lord, we get a chance to watch them step out in faith, to follow your call, to listen to your voice and obey. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we are so thankful that they teach us that. And as they teach us that as a body, we just pray, would you bless that obeying? Would you give them clarity where they need it? When the path is not clear, would you give them peace? Would you give them the ability to rest in your timing? We pray, Father, that you would make things very clear to them on where you'd have them to be and go, and how this ministry would grow and the lives that it's going to get an opportunity to touch. And Father, we pray for Berean. Lord, we get the opportunity to go through some times where things are not very clear. And we just pray, Father, that you give us clarity. And where things are not clear, would you give us peace? And we pray, Father, that as a church, you would help us to know where you'd have us to be and lead. And we just pray, Father, that as we come around the Bartels, we just pray that you would continue to bless them and that you continue to bless Berean. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.